Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Hold up your Bible. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life, and my family get stronger and stronger. Can we thank God for the Word, the written Word of God? Amen. All right, so a habit, if you're a note taker, I hope you are, is a repeated behavior. A habit is defined in the dictionary as a repeated behavior. Now think about it. What I've taught you is your behavior is a result of your belief system. Your behavior is connected to your believing. So whatever I'm believing, I'm behaving. So if a habit is a behavior, then my habits are connected to what I believe about me and my life. My identity then is connected to my habits. How I see myself is a reflection of my habits. How I see myself is a reflection of my habits. If I see myself as a gym rat, being athletic and in health, then I'm going to be building habits in the gym, physical habits. Does that make sense? Your habits are connected to your identity. What you believe is how you behave. You change your children's behavior by changing their belief system. All right, so a habit is a repeated behavior. Change my life by changing my habits. I change my life by changing my habits. Pastor, I want things to change for me and my family in 2022. Nothing changes until you do. And your life will not change until your habits change. Because our life is a sum total of our habits. Our life is a sum total of our habits. So I change my life by changing my habits. Little illustration, can I just share a little bit about myself a little bit here? You know, I decided one of my goals that I was going to work on, one of my habits, I'll say it that way, one of my habits, a repeated behavior. One of my habits is when I get up in the morning, first thing I want to do is drink a bottle of water. Do you think that's a good habit? Would you all pray for me that I stick to that habit? Seven of you are going to pray for your path. I won't make it then if I don't have a support system. You got to have a support system to keep them habits going, okay? So will you hold me accountable? So when you see me out and about, you know, say, hey, Pastor, how's that water coming? Amen. All right. Oh, see, I'm teaching you right now. You need somebody to hold you accountable. Okay, praise the Lord. That's not going over too well, but we'll keep going. So I changed my life by changing my habits. Another one-liner. This is powerful. Pastor, I want to change my life. Where do I start? By changing your habits. I improve my life by improving my habits. Pastor, I want a better life this year. Well, it's on the screen. And isn't that cool, guys, how it's back there on the screen now for you? So you can take a picture. If I go too fast, then I will. You just snapshot with your smartphone. You got the whole thing. You got the big picture. You have a strategy. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So I improve my life by improving my habits. So if I want a better life this year, I've got to have better habits than I had last year. Expecting something different and doing the same thing over and over again, they call that insanity. Right? They call that insanity. This year won't change until I change. I won't change until I change my daily habits. I improve my life by improving my habits. Y'all still with me? Okay, so let me give you some scriptures to build upon to build upon. I improve my life by improving my habits. And let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior, and our behavior is a result of our believing. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. We can't be a Christian today and fit into the culture of our world. There's too much of a contrast now. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you. Yeah. Whoa, God can change me. Yeah. God can bring transformation in your marriage, with your money, with your time management, and with your habits, with your health, with your relationships, with your career. God can bring transformation. That's what our Celebrate Recovery is all about, that we do here every week at Church on the Rock. Letting people know God can bring transformation into your life. Here's what the Bible says. Now think about it. The closer to God I get, the better my life. But the further away I get from God, the worse my life will be. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says that the way of a sinner is hard. The way of a sinner is hard. So the closer I get to God, that's why I say this year, for those who are walking with God, sold out to God, not perfect, but walking with God and prioritizing and putting God first, it's going to be a blessed year for you. But those who are away from God and don't serve God, don't love God, don't like God, it's going to be a disaster. You think Kentucky was something? Get ready, get ready, get ready. All right? So don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God, we have to let God, right? And usually we don't let God until we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Usually we don't let God until we're fed up with our life. Usually we don't change until we're uncomfortable. Usually we don't change until there's a whole lot of pain, trouble, and problem in our life. And that's when we let God. Let God transform you into a new year, new person. I love that, right? New you, new year. Amen. By changing, how is God going to change me? By changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. Wow. So it all starts with our thinking. It all starts with our thinking. All transformation starts with our thinking. Anything new, a new level, a new chapter, a new beginning, starts with a new way of thinking. Well, I hope I'm communicating today. A new way of thinking. Remember, what you're thinking, you're believing. What you're believing, you're behaving. Your behavior is your habits. So habits go back to your behavior. It's a repeated behavior. And your behavior goes back to what you're believing about you, your health, your money, your ministry, your job, your career, your future. And that's a result of your believing. And your believing is a result of your thinking. So all change that God wants to do in our life begins with us allowing Him to change the way we think. Wow. By changing the way you think. I just want to get off this. I want to break that habit. It starts with changing the way you think. I want to get off that addiction. I want to get off that roller coaster, that merry-go-round. It starts by letting God change the way you think. How does God do that? 1 year Bible. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Can't believe for His will if you don't know His will. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good. That's why I said for those who love God this year, it's going to be a good year. For those who don't, it's not going to be so good this year. God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So there you see, God wants us to develop a habit of reading our Bible. Because the Bible is God's thinking process. The Bible is God's thoughts written down in word form. Y'all with me? So there's a habit in the Bible, renewing our mind, not with social media or the news, but the good news. Everyone say a habit A healthy habit of a Christian is to read the Bible every day. Okay, there we have that. It all starts there. Everything starts there. Now, look for the word habit. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk and live. What's the next word? Y'all tell me, what's the next word? Habitually. Say it again. I want you to see, it's not just in a secular book, it's in the Bible. Habits are in the Bible. We talk about healthy habits of a solid Christian in our growth track. But I say walk and live habitually. Did you know that going to church is to be a habit?
Yes.
Going to church is to be a habit. Where do you get that? Jesus, on the Sabbath, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue.
Yes.
Synagogue would be church, right? Custom means habit.
Yes.
Jesus leads the way in making it a habit of going to church and bringing your family. That's a habit. But I say walk and live habitually in the Spirit. Be responsive to and controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. Then you will be certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of the human nature, without God. So we see that we're to develop a habit. If I want to improve my life, improve my habits, right? If I want to change, change my habits. And so the Bible says we start off with a habit of reading and acting on our Bible every day. We make it a habit. And then number two, we see right here, we make it a habit to learn how to cooperate and honor and walk and live daily with the Holy Spirit. Make it a habit. Pastor, make it simple. Holy Spirit, I yield to you today. My body's a living temple, not a shack. My body's a living temple, not a shack. My body's a living temple of the Holy Spirit, not a shack. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Holy Spirit, control my mind and my mouth and my actions today. And you say that every day. That's one of the ways that you yield to, make it a habit to be led by, controlled by, respond with the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me, everybody? Well, we're going to have a great year. All right? And then another scripture, love the word. Another scripture is Genesis 24:40. We're just building this weekend. This weekend, next weekend, we're talking about how to break old habits and build new habits. My life won't change until I change my habits. My life won't improve until I improve my habits. My habits are connected to how I see myself, my identity. My habits are connected to my belief system. What I tend to believe, I tend to act out in everyday life. Genesis 24:40, and he said to me, look at the word habit. And he said to me, the Lord in whose presence I walk habitually. Wow, you can go. I'm just pulling out a few scriptures, everybody. But it's all through the Bible. You and I, we can't be healthy without healthy habits. We can't be wise with money without wise money habits. We've been taking our staff through Dave Ramsey, our staff. We care about our staff and their finances. We're taking them how to have good money habits, health habits, exercise habits, social habits, right? People skill habits, spiritual habits, all the above. It's all in the Word. And he said to me, the Lord in whose presence I walk habitually will send his angel before you and cause you to prosper in your way. Boy, I like that. Just pulled out a few scriptures there on how important it is that we understand our life is a sum total of the habits. Change my life, change my habits. Get my life better, I got to have better habits. And then I gave you the illustration, and this will be next weekend, but you got to have the right inner circle around you to hold you accountable, because we need a support system. I do, because if not, man, I'm going to go on fast with Pastor Kim Wednesday. I'm going to fast Snickers. I'm not going to have any Snickers. No, I don't like Snickers. I'm not those kind of people. And guess what? By the time I get home from prayer Wednesday night, I stop by the gas station and get a Snickers. Come on. unless I have somebody when I get home. Pastor Kim asked me, did I get a Snickers bar on the way home? Right. Well, I can tell this is going over real good today. Amen. So let's break it down. How do we break old? How do we build new? How do we position ourselves for our dreams to come true in 2022? That rhymed. Were y'all awake on that? I worked hard on that now. All right, so there are 5 points. They all start with the letter R. R, matey, okay, Pirates of the Caribbean. All right, y'all ready? Number one, we got to reevaluate our life. Right now, this very first Sunday, very first weekend, we need to be reevaluating our life. We need to be evaluating our life. There's no excellence without evaluation. There's no excellence without evaluation. Did you know that after every service, Daniel, our executive pastor, gets an AR report from every department on how that department went that service, that Sunday, every week? What went right? What went wrong? How can we improve? They turn them in, our team, every Sunday afternoon, because there's no excellence without evaluation. So I have to reevaluate my life right now. Be honest, be humble, be hungry. How do I do that? Ask myself some questions. What are some example of questions listed there? Guys, can we go to the next question? What am I most grateful for? What am I most grateful for? That's a good question, because gratefulness is connected to peace. Do you remember Christmas Eve? Great, it was my teaching. Gratefulness is connected to peace. If I'm ungrateful, I'll live a life of unrest. Never be happy with anybody or anything. Another question up on the screen, guys. What was the hardest thing I overcame in 2021? What was the hardest thing I overcame in 2021? Do you remember Lee Cockrell, the Walt Disney World CEO? He said that when they were hiring top executives at Disney, they were more interested than not so much their education, but what was the hardest thing they went through and came out victoriously. He said, we want to know what was the hardest thing they ever went through, how they got through it, and came through it, came out better. What was the hardest thing I overcame in 2021? Reevaluating our life, giving you some examples. Am I helping anybody? Okay, next question. What did 2021 teach me? What did 2021 teach me? What did 2021 teach me? We're lifelong learners at Church on the Rock. Another question for reevaluating my life, and isn't it awesome? It's up on the screen. Next question, guys. Who impacted me the most? Who impacted me the most? Maybe a podcast, maybe a video, maybe a mentor, maybe a teacher, maybe a parent, maybe a sibling, maybe a friend. Who impacted me the most last year for my growth? Another good question, how have I changed? At the beginning of 2021 to the end of 2021, January the 2nd, 2022, how have I changed over the last year? Next, guys, where have I grown the most? Isn't that awesome? And Tim does that with the other team members. Don't they do a great job on that? Where have I grown the most? Where have I grown the most? That's a good question. What area of your life have you grown the most? Next, guys. Number two, resolutions. So I reevaluate my life by being honest, humble, hungry, open to change, but I'll never change until I change my habits. But it starts with being honest and reevaluating my life, not having a victim mentality, not blaming anybody else, but taking responsibility for my life. I reevaluate my life. Number two, making resolutions. Making resolutions. I call these divinely directed decisions. I call these divinely directed decisions. I call these godly goals. Not just saying I'm going to do something, but praying and asking God, I don't want it to be a good idea. I want it to be a God idea. Resolutions. You know, nothing changes till I change. I don't change until I change my habits. But number three, or set goals under that. Number three, reframe my perspective. This year's going to be better than last year. I've got to have better goals. To have better goals, better habits, then I got to reevaluate. I got to make godly resolutions. And number three, I got to reframe my perspective. Can you say this one with me, please? Reframe my perspective. I got to reframe. I was talking to Pastor Kim. She's doing this thing online, this class online. And I asked her this morning, I said, what did they talk about, you know, last night on your coaching online class you're going through? And she said, they're talking about, I have to reframe my mind. I got to reframe my outlook. I said, they stole that from me. Reframe my perspective, right? My outlook determines my outcome. My outlook determines my outcome. Why have I been telling you for the last few weeks to say to each other, this is going to be the best year of your life? I'm trying to change your perspective. I'm trying to change your outlook, because God meets us on the level of our expectations. If you expect it to be bad, it's going to be bad. If you expect it to be better and do the things that will make it better, it will be better. So we have to reframe our perspective. Now, what I mean there is we have to learn to see potential and possibilities in every problem. Potential and possibilities in every problem. A problem solver, right? So to reframe our perspective, that means stop being negative and start being positive. Negative people never solve problems. Negative people aren't creative. So we reframe our perspective, outlook, outcome. Reality is my perception. Reality is my perception. So I have to see potential and possibilities in every problem. You with me, family? Okay, so let me give you a story I thought was real cool. I heard it this last week. Elvis Presley. Anybody know who Elvis was? Okay, Elvis Presley, 1950s, rock and roll, right? And he had a guy behind him who was his manager called Colonel Parker. Colonel Parker. He was his manager. Okay, they tell us in the history of music that Colonel Parker was the first agent for a musician that created merchandise. He was the first guy that created merchandise to go along. You know, the others followed then, like Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and all kinds of people, you know, that merchandise would follow. Even today, you go to a concert where they have merch, right? They have T-shirts. They got all kinds of stuff. Well, they say that all started with Colonel Parker, Elvis Presley's agent, his manager back in the early 50s, okay? So he was a genius at marketing. So when he did that for Elvis, he made 50 different products, 50 different products promoting Elvis Presley. So as a result of that, there were people that came out against Elvis Presley that did not like him and hated him, all right? So what did Colonel Parker do? He reframed his perspective, and he saw potential and possibility in the problem of part of the population hating Elvis. So what did he do? This is so incredible, this story. Did we get it, Daniel, on that? Okay. There we go. Is that he made pins called I Hate Elvis. Think about it. They had pins that said, I love Elvis, all right? So he saw potential in the problem of people in the public eye that didn't like him, but the public didn't know that was Colonel Parker making those I Hate Elvis buttons. Is that brilliant? So it was Elvis and Colonel Parker making money off their enemies. So what did he do? He turned it around. Y'all with me? Okay, so what do we do to position ourselves? I can't improve my life until I improve my habits. I'll never change until I change my habits, right? And how do I begin to do that? I got to reevaluate my life. I got to be honest and say, I need to change there. I need to change that. I need to stop this. I need to start that. I need to continue this. Did you get that? There should be some things you should be stopping. There should be some things you should keep doing. And there should be some things new you should be starting. Right? Okay. And it all goes back to what? Our thought life. Right? Make it a habit of renewing your mind and the one-year Bible. And then number two, of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Habitually live in His presence every day. Right? Then you reevaluate. And then I forgot, what was the second one? Make resolutions, godly goals. And then number three was reframe your perspective. And number four is reimagine your life. Reimagine your life. I love this. Oh, I love this. This is worth y'all sliding to church today. Okay? Your future is formed in your imagination. Your future is formed in your imagination. Remember, God gave us memory. That's for your past. But He also gave you imagination. That's for your future. We spend too much time in memory getting depressed over our past, and too much time worrying about our future because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to paint an image of our future in our imagination. Are you with me? Your future is formed in your imagination. Your future is formed in your imagination. How does that work? Make it a habit every night when you go to bed, before you go to sleep, imagining your future and thanking God for bringing it to pass. Every night, make it a habit. Before you go to bed, the last thing you do as you begin to meditate, you are imagining your family, your health, your marriage, your future mate, your money, your investments, your ministry. You're imagining your future. And then you're thanking God for bringing it to pass. You have to reimagine. I love that. Your future is formed in your imagination. What do you want to become by the end of 2022? What is it, Stephen Covey? Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. You ever read that book? Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. And one of them is that you begin with the end in mind. You begin with the end in mind. So I have written down, none of your beeswax, but I've written down what I want to look like at the end of 2022. Boy, I'm going to be bad to the bone. Oh, man. By God's grace. So what am I telling you is that you want to imagine, who do you want to become by the end of 2022? That's your identity. Now, whatever you picture or identity you see of yourself, develop the habits that will take you there. Develop the habits that will make you that person. Most of all, I want to be more spiritual than I've ever been in my entire life. I want to be closer to God. You heard the testimony. I want to be closer to God than I've ever been. Well, to do that, I got to develop habits every day to make me that person by the end of 2022. Is that helping anybody? Very practical, very simple, but yet profound. All right? Your habits must be attached to that identity. Number five, as the team comes out, redefine your purpose. When you see it all up there on the screen, that is so cool. Redefine your purpose. What is your purpose? It's your why. Your purpose is your why. You have to know, why do I need these habits? Why do I need to change? Why? I'll say it this way. This is powerful. My destiny demands I become different. My destiny demands Dave Blunt can't remain the same on January the 2nd, 2022. My destiny demands of me to become different. How do I become different? By changing my habits. But I'll never change my habits until I know my purpose for changing them. Am I helping anybody? Charles Nieman. Y'all know Charles? A guest speaker here, Charles Nieman, years ago. Daniel and I were talking. At this time, it's been 11 years ago. 11 years ago, Charles Nieman was here. And as you, if you know Charles, he's very fit. He's 70, but he's like, he's 50, okay? The new 70 is now 50. And he is so in shape. You know, you'd think he's 50, and he's 70. He's so hip. He's so in shape. And when he was here 11 years ago, he said, "Hey, Dave, have you ever heard of CrossFit?" Now, I'm not promoting CrossFit, okay? It's an illustration. He said, "You ever heard of CrossFit?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, Daniel had just started CrossFit, another guy in the church, they just started that." And he said, "Well, I've been doing it." And I said, well, why? You know, Charles, you're so fit, this and other." He said, "I've been doing it because when I'm 80, I want to be playing with my grandkids. When I'm 80, I don't want to be in a nursing home, disabled." What was his why? To live long and live strong. And to be able to hang out with his grandkids and his grandkids' grandkids and be healthy. You've got to know your why or you won't change. Your purpose has to be big enough to make the needed changes to break the old and build the new. Boy, I got to hustle. But so, I know it seems like eternity, but it's only been 31 minutes. It's a sitcom, okay? So let me give you the scriptures, and then we'll go have cookies and complimentary truck, and we'll celebrate on debt cancellation at your house. Okay? Romans 8:28. So see, if you see that at the end of this year, then what habits do you need to make in your spending to become debt-free by the end of this year? That's how this works. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Not to everybody, not to sinners, not to the wicked, but to them that love God. To them who are called according to what? His purpose. His purpose has become our purpose. And then we develop the habits to fulfill his purpose. Next verse, verse 29. What's your purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Pastor, you say that, you always say your mission statement here at our church is to lead people to a God who's for them, let them know his purpose for their life. Well, what's God's purpose for my life? It's that your character becomes like Christ. That's it. God's purpose for you and me is that we become like Jesus. Scripture, for whom he did foreknow, no, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed, changed into the character and the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 28 talked about purpose. Verse 29 defines it. God's working on our character. The number one thing God works on as Christians is our character. The number one thing that God wants to change in our life is our character. Please hear me. You only change your character by changing your habits. Habits make up character. Habits make up character. God's purpose for your life and my life, you know, we get caught up. Is it to live here, to do there, be a carpenter, IT, electrician, a nurse, or a doctor? You know what? I really think God will let you choose that if you'll follow him and become the person he wants you to be. And the gifting that he gave you, it'll come natural. But the number one purpose that God wants in all of our life that we're all trying to do is be changed and become like Jesus. What would Jesus do as a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, an employee, an employer? And my character is changed by letting God change my habits. And I'm done. Did y'all get something? Oh, I hope y'all got something on the first Sunday. Come on, let's thank God for the Word of God. The Word, the Word, the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. This is going to be the, we imagine, God, that you're going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think this year. God, that you're going to do the supernatural. That as Daniel's saying, the goodness of the Lord is going to chase us down this year. I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. I magnify you. God, we give you all the glory ahead of time. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand together, no one leaving. As you stand, and those of you that are at home, would you bow your heads, please? Say, Pastor, I see it. I see it. I need to reset all the R's, the reevaluate, the reimagined, the reframe, all of this. I see it, Pastor. I need to reset my life. Pastor, pray for me today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, pray for me today. I need my life to change. I'm fed up. We only change when we're fed up. We hurt enough, sick and tired of being sick and tired. When we actually really want things to change, then God will change us. You see, Pastor, I want God to change me. I want God to have permission to work in my life. I want Jesus to be in control of my life. Pray for me for the first time, or a reset or rededication. If that's you online, this is not an accident you're watching or you're re-watching it. Punch the button on your screen, your smartphone, your computer. Make that decision. Follow through. Do it now. Tell somebody. And then here in the room, right here, right now, heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody's going to come to you in the lobby. Rock Express, Pastor, that's me. God's dealing with my heart, but I got to let him in. Pastor, I want to reset my life, maybe for the very first time, or maybe as a reset, rededication. Pray for me, Pastor. On January the 2nd, 2022, I don't want my life to go on as it is. I don't want it to be a repeat of 2021. I want God's help. Pray for me. Just lift your hand up. Would you just wave it at me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't miss the moment. Nobody's going to come to you. I just want you not to be ashamed of the gospel. And the Bible says you got to do something. So just lift your hand up high. Keep it up. Every section. God bless your heart. You can put it down. All right, church, let's pray. This is in the Bible. Everybody, let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I receive you now. Take my life. Make a difference. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me take the next step. In Jesus' name, amen. And we look up and give God a praise, and the angels are rejoicing.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.